We're going to continue in our summer series called Drop the Stone. Drop the Stone. How many were here last week? Three people. That's good. I think we're going to have fun with this over the summer. I hope you will. I hope you will. I hope you're going to have fun today. Why, thank you, Stephen. You're the best. The very best. All right, drop the stone. That's what we're going to do. We're going to drop the stone. So I'm going to jump right in. So last week I shared with you Barna research. There's a bunch of research. You can look it up yourself, but you can see there's research studying. And I was trying to find out, why don't people go to church? What's the matter with people? What keeps them from church? And this was just one of the studies of people aged 16 to 29 in the United States. So, I mean, if it's bad in the States, it's probably worse in Canada. You know, because America would probably, in my mind, America might still be a little more godly of a land than Canada. Canada's went sideways kind of quick, but it's all right because we are the true North, strong and free. Amen. George sang the national anthem at the London Majors game. And he cried out in public, God keep our land glorious and free. Hallelujah. But these folks said 90%, that's 9 out of 10 people responded, ages 16 to 29, that's where we want to go. We want to go after that generation, you know. We want to see that generation happy to be in the house of God. But they articulated the opinion that Christians are judgmental. Christians are judgmental. 9 out of 10 people said Christians are judgmental. Who's causing that? Who is it? Who is it? Who's causing that grief out there? Turn to your neighbor and say, is it you? Is it you? Are you the judgmental one? You know, people think churches are judgmental. A guy named Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer said, when you judge another, you do not define them, you define yourself. When you judge other people, you don't define them, you judge yourself. So if you say you're ugly, well, you're ugly. If you say you're stupid, well, you're stupid. So don't do that. Don't do that. Mother Teresa said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. No time to love them. Amen. Who's judged anybody like this morning already? Who? Anybody? Amen. See, received an amen right there. I don't know. I can be a little judgmental. You know, I got opinions and stuff. And so, you know, we do that. We really do. We kind of, it can get on you. You get kind of judgmental and creepy about people. Matthew 7:1, Jesus said, do not judge others. There's a straight up imperative. You ready? Do not judge others. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Amen. How many hate it when people judge you? How many hate it when you're falsely accused? How many hate it when somebody has an opinion of you and they say something about you? That's not fair. That's not true. You don't even know me. How dare you? Ah, man. Has anybody been falsely accused? I had somebody recently that was falsely accused, and it was just a mistake. But boy, for a few days, the guy felt horrible, you know. And it's weird when that's not me. You know, it's a terrible thing when somebody judges you. Don't judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. That's scary, right there, isn't it? If you don't like what's coming back to you, you got to check what you're sending. You know. I said that to the Lord one time. I said, I don't like, you know, the way people are treating me. And then he said, well, how do you treat others? I went, really, really good. And then he showed me some pictures. And then one time I was like, I don't like that. Sometimes people are a bit careless with me. I'm their pastor. And I know I like to have fun and all that. Sometimes people go a little too far with me. I'm sensitive, you know. And then I said, where's this coming from? And I always, when I get a harvest, I always try to figure out who sowed this seed. Who sowed this? Because sometimes the problem you're experiencing, you're the one who sowed it. You sowed the seed and you're getting a harvest. So the Lord showed me that sometimes when you do announcements with your wife, you pick on her and you say things about her, and then you gave everybody permission to pick on you. So I'm never picking on Cheryl again. So you folks just need to stop it. Yeah, I don't mean having a bit of fun. I like having a bit of fun, don't you? Amen. But when I was in Australia, the guy introduced me to speak, and he said, Pastor Carl, a unique individual, very, very interesting man. And I'm glad he's here tonight, but I thank God I'm not quite like him. I'm not as short and fat as he is. So I'm a keynote speaker at a conference, and you start off by saying, here comes a short and fat guy. Well, thanks for that, you know. But I learned in Australia, if they're not picking on you, they don't like you. So I got picked on a lot. So I turned that around and said, I must be really, really heavily and highly esteemed in this place because, man, people love picking on me. Can I get some cheese with that wine? Can I? So, and do not judge others and you won't be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard that you use for judging is the standard by which you will be judged. So you know what? Walk around every day and say, I'm awesome, I'm beautiful, I'm wonderful, I'm smart, I'm brilliant, and just say it all the time. You know, don't ask people what they think about you. Tell them, hi, I'm Carl, I'm brilliant, I'm smart, I'm beautiful, I'm awesome, and I'm really tall. That was a bit extreme in the laughter right there. Okay, I love this. Last week we talked about the woman and focused more on the woman. I'm going to try and focus more on the Pharisees today, and we're going to jump into the same story. But in that story last week, we saw that in shaming this woman and bringing her to Jesus and trying to trap Jesus, you know, with what she was involved in, they really did the woman a great favor. You know, because I'll tell you, the best thing you can do for anybody is bring them to Jesus. Because if you bring people to Jesus, they're going to get a look of love, of total acceptance, of unbelievable grace, and they're going to experience complete and utter freedom and deliverance, no matter what they've been going through. I mean, imagine coming out of that experience, being dragged into church and thrown right there in the front and everybody looking at you. I mean, not just dragged into church, but dragged through town, dragged through the streets, brought there. Imagine the shame, the fear, what's going to happen. I mean, there's a possibility I might die. And yet the greatest thing they did for that woman, because there she was caught in an adulterous relationship. I mean, she was not completely a victim because she was in an awful situation. She could have been the married woman. She could have been a homewrecker. What are you doing? But you know what? They brought her to Jesus. And anyone who gets brought to Jesus is going to experience freedom. Dear woman, where are your accusers? And looking around, she replied, I see no one, Lord. And the one that was there, the one that was left, the one that actually had and was qualified to throw stones, he said, neither do I accuse you. And when you stand there and she stood in the face of Jesus and she responded and said, Lord, which is curious, which is you are the King, you are the Lord. And she manifests faith and she manifests belief right there. All right. John 8, verse 12, we're going to start there, so we're going to go to 1 through 11, but I want you to know that in John's writings, John would often share a story, and then he would give a teaching. He'd share a story, he wrote the book, and he would take stories and events that he experienced in the life of Jesus, and he would tell a story, and then he would teach. And he put all of this together, led by the Holy Ghost. So this whole story was put exactly where it needed to be, but the teaching that Jesus shared right after that happened, it said, then. So right after that woman, he said, from now on, go and be free of your life of sin. Be free. What did he do immediately after that? He said, then Jesus said, I am the light to the world. And to those who embrace me, they will experience life-giving light. And they will never walk in darkness. And so that whole story was a setup for Jesus to talk about, follow me, come to me, I am the light of the world. If you embrace me, life will enter you. Life, transforming life will come upon you and you will never walk in darkness again. How many think that's good news? Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you conquer fear. And that's what Jesus said with this woman who just went through this devastating experience. There she is standing in the face of Jesus, walked away completely set free, completely healed, completely redeemed. Because she encountered Jesus and she experienced life-giving light. All right, let's go back to verse 1. Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives near the city where he spent the night. Then, at dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts again. And as soon as all the people gathered, say all the people gathered around to listen to his words. So he sat down and he taught them. Then in the middle of his teaching. That would be like right now. Suddenly the doors open and just a noise and a racket going on. People out of the way, out of the way. And suddenly, boom, gets thrown here right in the middle of the sermon, right in the middle of us doing church. We got a woman that could be completely naked thrown here in the middle of the whole thing. Then, in the middle of his teaching, the religious scholars and the Pharisees broke through the crowd and brought a woman who'd been caught in the act of committing adultery, and they made her stand in the middle of everyone. Don't cower, get up, stand up. They made her stand in the middle of everybody. And they wanted to try Jesus. Now we read earlier, I said, I want you to say all. It says all the people came to hear Jesus teach. Everybody came. Well, not everybody came, because clearly these guys weren't at church that day. They were trying to find a desperate housewife somewhere. They were, you know, going through, checking out and creeping on all the bedrooms in town, trying to figure out if we could find a really good evil person to throw at Jesus' feet. I mean, how creepy are these people? My God, there they are. They caught, listen, Jesus, I didn't catch a woman who I heard was an adulterer. We caught her in the act, in the very act. We caught her in the act of committing. She wasn't an adulteress. She was committing adultery, and they made her stand in the middle of everyone. Then they said to Jesus, teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us. What do you say we should do with her? We got him, we got him, we got him, we got him. Imagine shaming somebody for the sole purpose of trying to catch Jesus. Imagine using the Bible, using the Word of God as a hammer on somebody to shame them just to say, Jesus, are you going to uphold the law or not? You know what the Bible says. Hate's a strong word, but people use the Bible as a weapon. Boy, do they annoy me. You know, they don't even understand the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible isn't to expose sin. The purpose of the Bible is to expose Jesus. The Bible was written to reveal Jesus. The whole purpose of the Bible was to show Jesus, to manifest the love that the Father has for his creation, to say there is a king, and he wants to have a kingdom, and he wants to have a royal family, and he wants to fill the earth with his goodness and with his love. But instead, we take parts of the story and use it to beat people up and teach behavior modification. You people could do better. You know what's wrong with you? Blah, 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 blah. And then we wonder, why do the people think the church is judgmental? Amen. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone this woman to death? Tell us, what do you think we should do with her? Well, they were only testing Jesus because they hoped to trap him. Because they figured, we know this guy. You know, he's annoying us. He's driving us crazy because we're hammering these people with the law. We're adding even more rules to the law. We're putting fence rules so that you can't even get close to breaking a rule. We're adding more rules to make it impossible to break the rules. But this Jesus guy, he's hanging out with sinners. He's hanging out. The other day he had a big party with not just a sinner, but a tax collector. I mean, this guy's a mess. This guy, I don't know, but I mean, with his teaching and everything, looks like he's giving people permission to not have to listen to us anymore. He's giving people permission. I mean, when he prays, he tells them, pray like this, pray our Father. Can you imagine what nonsense this guy is doing? He's giving people access to God. He's telling them that the fence rules don't matter. He heals on the Sabbath. He let his people walk through the fields and eat on the Sabbath. He's wrecking this system that we have built. He is so annoying. We need to test him. We need to get him out of here. You know those people at Impact Church? They really focus on grace. Can you imagine grace? Teaching people that God is good and he loves you. Unconditional love poured upon you. Can you fathom a church that just preaches the goodness of God all the time? You know what that's going to do? It just gives people permission to sin. Man, you got to preach against sin. You got to call people out on their actions. Call them out, call them out, call them out. They're wrecking our system. That's how we keep people coming to church. You get to church every single week or God is going to be mad at you. Don't you want to be pleasing to God? Don't you want to be like him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of this bondage and nonsense, performance, rubbish. If I do any of those things, I do it because I love Jesus, not because I'm trying to get him to love me. I do it because Jesus once for all said he's pleased with me. I'm not trying to be pleasing to God. I am pleasing to God. I'm not trying to be like God. I am a new creation. I'm recreated in his image. I am a partaker of divine nature. I'm not trying to be like him. I am like him. In fact, he calls me his very son. But we're still the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're sad because they can't see all those people. They're still thinking the law is the way to get conformity of the people. And the problem out there is the people that are sinners, they're not obeying the law. You know why sinners don't obey the law? Because they're sinners. I have zero expectation of the people out there honoring the Word of God. You can't honor the Word of God, but you want them to? Yikes. That's why you needed a Savior. That's why you needed somebody who'd done it all for you, because you cannot do it yourself. Are you still here? When they should have been in church, they're out creeping in the bedrooms of desperate housewives. That's what we're doing. My question is, where's the dude? Where's the dude? That's my question. I would have jumped up and said, hey, where's the dude? Hey, quiet over there. Hey. I want to know where the dude is, because you guys are really law keepers. The law says in Leviticus 20 that they are both supposed to come. And you just brought the woman. What's the deal with that? Where's the dude? Was he a fast runner? Got out of there? Or is it one of you guys? You just changed your clothes. Where's the dude? Where's the dude? But Jesus did not answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and he wrote in the dust with his finger, angry. They kept insisting, answer the question. See, these guys are the authority figures. They're in charge. Jesus is just an interloper. This guy is just some upstart rabbi. I don't even know why we let him come and teach in the temple. We should be throwing this guy out. They're the ones in power. They're the ones who have authority. They're the ones who have the ability to enforce things. Jesus is just some guy who shows up every once in a while, but now the people are going after him. We got to take him out. Angry, they kept insisting, answer us. So Jesus stood up and he looked at them and he said, let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire. So let's have the stoning. Let's get started now. Everybody ready? Let's honor the law. Let's stone the woman. And here's what we're going to do. You ready? We're going to have the guy first stoned. We're going to pick the guy for the first stone. Are you ready? And people are like, oh my God, they're really going to do this. Jesus. Jesus, tell you what, let's start with this. Let the guy, the first guy, the first stone thrower is going to be the one who's never had a sinful desire, all right? So let the never had a sinful desire guy, let him be the first one who throws a stone. And then he gets down and starts writing in the sand again. Now, last week we talked to you about writing in the sand. Now, the word wrote is the word catagraphing. It's from kata and grapho. It's two words, compound words, and it means to write against. To write against. Only used one time in the scripture. And the word is used right here. So Jesus is there writing in the sand. He is framing an indictment. Only used in the Bible once, and it's used right here by Jesus. So what's he doing in the sand? He's framing an indictment. He's writing something against these guys, and he's laying it out. Now, last week I told you, and in the Passion Translation, you can actually see it's got a little bubble you can click, and it'll pop up the scripture. Because if you were a good Bible teacher in that day, as soon as you saw Jesus writing in the sand, and he was writing your name, you immediately would go to this verse. Because if you're worth your salt as a teacher of the law or a Pharisee, you'd memorize all of the Word of God. And as a teacher of the law, that writing in the sand thing would come up quickly. And it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me will be written in the earth. They shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Now, what happened just before this? The day before, Jesus interrupted their church service. So now they're interrupting his, but the day before, Jesus showed up at the great day of the feast when the priest would pour water from the spring, representing the life of the Messiah, representing the life of God. They would pour that water and Jesus couldn't take it. So he showed up at the convention on the biggest day, and he showed up and he jumped up on the stage and said, hey, this is a symbol. I'm the reality. This is a type, but I am here. If you're thirsty, if you're burnt out, if you've had enough of religion, come to me and drink of me, and out of your river's going to flow rivers of living water. Come to me. I am the one alone who will satisfy every need in your life. And after that, you see that they went, oh, we got to kill this guy. They tried to figure out, how can we arrest him? And the guys who went to arrest him came back and didn't have him. They said, where's Jesus? The guy speaks with such authority, we're afraid to touch him. But you see, Jesus is annoying these people to no end, driving them crazy. Jesus had become a real problem to the religious system of the day. He was completely undermining their ability to weaponize the law. And sadly, in a lot of churches, we weaponize the Bible and we use it as something to beat people and accuse people and try to control them and keep them in a little box. Honor the Word of God, people. Be obedient to the Word of God. And we beat people up with the Word. The Word was not there to beat you up. You see, it's there to lead you to Jesus. Even if I told you you're a broken mess and you can't do anything, I want to tell you that because I want to bring you to Jesus. Because the only thing that's going to help you is what Jesus said. I am the fountain of life. I am the life-giving light of the world. If you come to me and you get baptized in my light, you will never walk in darkness again. But the church preaches, stop walking in darkness and you will be a person of light. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, just come to Jesus. Bring your shame, bring your brokenness, bring your mess, bring it to Jesus. Look him in the face and he'll totally set you free. He'll flood you with his very life. He'll transform everything about you. We're going to have to give Sean a chair on the platform because you people got to be clapping a little bit more. Not for me, but for the truth. Because boy, that's good news. So he was completely undermining their weaponizing law. He manifested a forgiving and loving father. He manifested, he kept on going around. And Jesus, all the people that they called evil and that we should avoid, all the people that they said, stay away from these people. All these people said, don't touch them. They're full of sin. Stay away from sin. They've got a coating of sin on them. Ooh. All those people that they said, avoid, stay away from. And Jesus touched lepers. He touched broken lives. He ministered to prostitutes. He went to tax collectors, for goodness sake. All the people that they said are evil, we should avoid, stay away from them and don't touch them. Jesus went and embraced them. He sat at the table. And when you sit at a table with someone, you're saying, I absolutely, totally accept you. I esteem you. I bless you. Jesus sat and had meals with them. Who won't you have a meal with? Who won't you invite into your home? Who do you avoid like the plague? Who do you think is evil? Stop it. And then he bent over again and he wrote some more. He wrote some more words in the dust. Upon hearing that, her accusers slowly left. The crowd, one at a time, began with the oldest to the youngest, with a convicted conscience. With a convicted conscience, with a convicted conscience, until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there in front of him. Now there's still the people who came for the teaching. There's still that. It was a public place, a big crowd of people, but there she was alone in the midst of them. But all the religious folks, all the, you know, people who used the law to beat people up, all the people who wanted to test Jesus, all the people who said, I don't like grace, I don't like favor, I don't like you, overpreach the love of God. He's not that loving. He really is. He really, really is. I could never express. The Apostle Paul said, oh, I pray that you would know the love of God. I pray that you would know the depth, the width, the breadth, the height. Oh, if I could get one thing hammered into you, I pray that you would understand how much God loves you. But they were convicted in their conscience until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there in front of him. Listen, here's some good news. There's hope for the self-righteous. Amen. Anybody got a self-righteous person near them right now? There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Jesus is glad to have found me. He picked a very, very good person when he chose me to be a part of his team. I'm really, really good at keeping the rules and obeying the laws. I'm good at this stuff. Ah. Look at me, look at me, look at me. There's hope for the self-righteous if they have a functioning conscience. There's hope for the self-righteous. I'm amazed that all of these people had a functioning conscience. Do you know what? Just trust your conscience, brother. So sometimes you shouldn't trust your conscience. The Bible talks about 7 different types of conscience. One type is an evil conscience. You see, I don't know where your conscience is at, because sometimes people convince themselves of all manner of stuff. Some people's conscience is seared, messed up. I mean, you're not even honest with yourself. I'm amazed that these guys, these rule keepers, that every one of them was touching their conscience. What's interesting, it was from the oldest first to the youngest. You know, you get a little bit older and you realize, I'm really not all that. You get a little bit older and you chill on the stuff. When I was younger, I was all that. When I was younger, boy, I knew the truth. I could beat you up real good. But you get a little bit older, you know, you start speaking to yourself, you need to chill. You need to relax a little bit. Chill out, dude. You're not all that. You begin to realize that I got problems. I got flaws. They had a touch in their conscience. If they had a functioning conscience, that they can still express enough self-awareness to drop the stones. You got stones? Let me just check. Come on, check your pockets. Go ahead, check your pockets now. See if you got any stones. Who's got stones? You got stones. You've probably thrown a few at people this week. You know, I think about our political scene and what's going on, and I hear people talk about our leader and Trudeau and things they say and bumper stickers and things, and I just don't understand that. I mean, the Bible says, you know, of first importance, we should pray for those in authority. It doesn't say we should have evil bumper stickers about them. And it's got so twisted, if you saw the news, I mean, former President Trump got shot yesterday. And, you know, we take stuff way too far. And the weird thing is that when you think you're right, you justify your behavior. And what bothers me sometimes about the people who say we should be tolerant, they're not tolerant at all. At all. There's... I know what it's like to be marginalized and pushed to the corner, and sometimes you come out and you feel like you need to stand for your rights. You might be right about that, but you're wrong about your attitude. You're right that there needs to be justice, but you're wrong in trying to enforce that on others and call them all kinds of names because they don't agree with your worldview. I mean, I'm right about just about everything. And I put up with all you folks. Settle down over there. Settle. Thank you. Thank you. They gave me a humility button a few weeks ago, but they took it from me because I kept wearing it, you know, so... You know, I'm so sad to see things so divided. I think we should have strong values. We should believe things about things. I think we should give lots of room for people to have different views of life and different things. But I think have a deep conviction, have a deep feeling. I mean, belong to things, value things. But when you use your values to beat others over the head, I mean, drop your stones for goodness sake. Set the table. Julie's preaching next week on Set the Table. Yeah, and it's true, because, you know, let's sit down together. Let's talk. You know, because I want to understand. I always just want to understand. It does bother me when people are unwilling to listen to someone who feels marginalized, who feels hurt, who feels like I've experienced pain. I feel like society and culture has pushed me to the margins, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Oh, shut up over there. No, you know, you need to listen. You need to hear what's going on. We need to pay attention to one another. We need to care about one another. Hello, how are you? Are you guys okay? All right. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you got stones. Now, 1 Timothy 4:2 says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Their consciences are dead. Now, what he's actually talking about, he's talking about people that have gone back to the law, who stepped into legalism, and they want to use the law. They've abandoned the gospel, the grace of God, the goodness of God, as a way to be transformed, and they've gone back to, let's teach some law. Yeah, God's good and he's gracious, but we got to hammer them with some law, right? If we really want to see transformation, we got to beat them up with the Bible, amen? It says people like that, they go back to that nonsense, and what Paul said, he said they do it because their consciences are dead. Dead. Hallelujah. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Come on, give me an amen. Yeah. All right, back to the story. Back to the story. So he stood back up and he said to her, dear woman, where are your accusers? Say accusers. Oh, I hate being accused, don't you? Even if they're right, I still hate being accused. And these guys were right. The problem with these legalists is they're right. I am an adulteress. They're absolutely right. I am a broken mess. They are absolutely right. All those words coming at me are absolutely true. They accused me. I mean, they creepily, they came right in the room, right in the middle of the whole scene. Somehow they found us. I don't know how. But right there in the middle of the throes of passion, I got dragged out of that whole thing, and I am an adulteress. They're absolutely right. And you know what? You are, and I'm right. Ouch. Man, I'm so glad that God's not into accusation. Where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? Looking around, I see no one, Lord. Isn't it great to stand in the face of absolute power, but absolute love, and feel totally free? Where are your accusers? I'm telling you, standing in the presence of God, there's no accusation. I love in Revelation where it says, you know, the accuser of the brethren, he's been thrown down. And we've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So how do you overcome the accuser? By just proving to him that I can do better. By proving to him that, you know, I can stop. By proving to him that I'm not what you say I am. No, just accept it. Yep, broken. Yep. You are absolutely right. But what have I got to say for myself? The blood of Jesus. Boom. Boom. When I don't make the bed and Cheryl comes in, I say, the blood of Jesus. You're absolutely right. Hallelujah. Gotta love me, gotta love me, gotta love me. Don't do that. Trust me, I wouldn't do that, or I would come with a different color of makeup on my eye next week. Amen. Because my wife loves me too much to leave me the way I am. Amen. So he stood back and said to her, dear woman, where are your accusers? She said, there's no one, Lord. Looking around, she said, no one, Lord. Jesus then said, I certainly do not condemn you. Isn't that great? I certainly do not condemn you either. Go! From now on. This is powerful. You ready? Because he's not condoning sin. He's not saying, hey, a little bit of sin, it's okay. You know, try not to do it, you know. If you read the story further, you find out she went right back to it next week. I don't know. We don't know the story. Never heard from her again. But what he said was, from now on, be free. From now on, be free. From now on, be free from a life of sin. Amen? Anybody sin successfully this week? Liars. Every one of you just sinned right now. Going to hell right now. You better not get hit by a car before you leave, because that unconfessed sin will send you right to, hey there, say there, what's that score? Just a joke. Settle down. 1 John 2:1-2. 1 John 2:1-2. Sorry, I got carried away here. There we go. 1 John 2:1-2. You are my dear children, and I write these things to you so that you won't sin. Hey, who wants to stop sinning? You guys are pretty cool with your sin then. Who just doesn't want to put your hand up? Amen. You know, John is writing to us, and he's saying, I'm writing this so you won't sin. You should go, ooh, I want to see what he's got to say. Amen? Who wants some help with that? Like he said, I'm writing this to you so you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, listen, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer. 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 If you do sin, listen, you got an advocate. You got an advocate with the Father. If something goes wrong in your life, you can immediately go, Jesus, can we talk? Did you see that? I did. And I was hoping you'd come talk to me about it, because I want you to know you have an advocate. I am a continually forgiving Redeemer who, face to face with the Father, the minute you sin, Jesus stands there and says, not guilty. Not guilty. Father says, but I saw it. Oh, come on. Let's let them away this time. No, not guilty. Not guilty. He said to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Not guilty. Charges are dropped. You are free. Now, hey, get on with your life and be free from a life of sin. You know how you're free from a life of sin? Hearing over your life spoken, not guilty. You know how you're free from a life of sin? I have an advocate with the Father. You know how you're free from a life of sin? Not by trying harder. You're free from a life of sin by believing that Jesus set you free from sin. face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning, the at-one-ment. He is the sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but listen to this. Listen, here's the good news. Not only for your sin and my sin, but for the sin of the whole world. Good news, world, not guilty. Not guilty? There's some really bad people out there. Not guilty. But Pastor, I could bring a few people to your attention right now who are really bad people. Not guilty. Not guilty. Oh, no, no, no. We got to preach about them. They're guilty. You're evil. The judgment of God is upon you. The judgment of God was upon Jesus, who took away the sins of the whole world. 2,000 years ago, the whole world, past, present, and future, sin forgiven. Now you continue to say, I don't accept it, and then you can walk on your own terms. But if you just simply accept that, done. Not guilty. Turn to your neighbor and say, not guilty. I don't mean you, I mean me. You, I still got problems with, but not guilty. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the sins of the whole world. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. My beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken in a fault, have you ever seen a believer overtaken in a fault? Anybody? If you see a believer overtaken in a fault, here's what you should do. If you're in the spirit, if you're a spiritual person, you should seek to expose them, make them do 25 Holy Ghost push-ups, and commit to never do it again. You should seek to restore him in the spirit of gentleness, but keep watch over your own heart so that you won't be tempted to exalt yourself over him. Hey, listen, you got problems? I don't. I've seen you got some issues, and I'm really good with all that stuff. Love, here's, continue with the verse, says, his love empowers us to fulfill the law of the anointed one as we carry each other's troubles, moral faults and difficulties and failures. When you got a loved one and you got someone who has got some moral faults, some difficulties, some real issues and problems, you don't step back, you step in. And you step in gently. And you step in not, look, I'm really spiritual, I can help you. You step in like, you know, stuff happens to all of us. We all go through difficulties. Can I help you? Can I pray with you? Can I take you right to the face of Jesus? Can I take you right to the face of the one who loves you? And can I help you walk away from the shame, the fear, and the condemnation? Law of the Anointed One. Well, what is the Law of the Anointed One? Jesus gave a new commandment because it was a new covenant. All the other commandments, they're all good, they're all right, but they can't help you. Jesus' commandment, though, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. When it says obey the commandment in the new covenant, it's talking about this one. It's not talking about the 10 in the old covenant or the bunch that they added to it. They're talking about this. Love one another. How? How do I love people? As you've been loved. Have you been loved? Have you been loved? Have you experienced the love of God? Well, you know, that love is so amazing. It will overflow your life and you can express it to others. Not your, you know, hyped up goofy love, but the love of God. The unconditional love of God can flow out of your belly and can be a blessing to others. So, a new commandment gonna overflow. Love empowers us. Love empowers us to fulfill the law. So what is Jesus' agenda for sinners? Not to harm, but to help. What is Jesus' agenda for sinners? Not to judge, but to justify. What is Jesus' agenda for sinners? Not to condemn, but to convert. Is Jesus glorified in the stoning of a sinner or the salvation of a sinner? These are great questions, aren't they? Let's stone some people today, Pastor. Woo! Let's beat some people up. Let's go after the sinners today. Is Jesus glorified in stoning a sinner or the salvation of a sinner? The only one qualified to throw the stone, he doesn't. Then why do you? Why do you? It's a really good day to drop the stones. It's a really good day. Accusation doesn't stop people from sinning. It keeps people from church. I'll stop so you can take a picture of that. Accusation doesn't stop people from sinning.
it keeps them from church. That's what all the studies have found. You're all way too judgmental. I was hoping to come and experience the love of God, and I got the pious, stinky attitudes of a bunch of self-righteous people. Not here. I'm teaching this because you're going to share it with the people who go to other churches. Or do what I do. I apply it to my neighbor. Amen. So, I am so glad you were here to hear this sermon. Love. Let me give you some advice. You ready? Let me give you some advice. Love. L stands for listen intently. If you don't understand and you're not quite sure, stop. Shut up. Why don't you pay attention? There's a real person right there. You don't know what brought them to where they are or what shaped the position they're in. But you know what you need to do? You need to step in. You need to sit down. You need to have an open attitude and say, hey, I want to listen. Oh, offer support. I want to help. I want to get involved. But V, voice honesty. Because, you know, truth is spoken by loving people. Speak the truth in love. And, you know, don't be afraid to be honest with people. I mean, Jesus was honest with people. Jesus, with the woman at the well, he said, hey, can I have a drink out of your cup? No, you can't drink out of my cup. I mean, you're a Jewish person and I'm a Samaritan. I can't drink out of your cup. He says, hey, could you go get your husband? I don't have a husband. He says, actually, you're right. You don't have a husband. You're right now working on number six. Jesus, you threw that right in her face. You know, Jesus spoke the truth, and speaking the truth and helping that person through a situation, she ended up going in the middle of the day and bringing the whole city back to face Jesus. So you know what? It's okay. There's sometimes, make sure though you've gone with listen intently, offer your support. A lot of people want to voice their opinions before they did one and two. John, you got some converts on the other side of the river. E, you know what? Honestly, honest to goodness, every single person you run into, please esteem them of higher value than yourself. Esteem them. I mean, come alongside of them and even get under them. Walk into a situation where you're not all that. Isn't it amazing that God, very God, put on an earth suit just like mine, came and lived with me, walk among us, took every limitation that I have, and he served us. Don't judge people if you're unwilling to wash their feet. Don't judge anyways. Feet are awkward, aren't they? Who wants to wash those anyways? I was trying to get my wife to clip my toenails, but that's another story. I was doing a survey. Whose wives clip your husband's toenails? They send my wife an email, please. She said, well, you're too fat to bend over. I went, oh. So I went to her and I said, love listens intently, offer support. Don't, you're too quick with the voice honesty thing. You're really too fast with that. I mean, you know, esteem others. I really mean this, by the way. I really do. I really do mean this. And really all summer, we're going to get up in our faces and get up in each other's business and say, hey, it's time to drop the stones. It's time to drop the stones. One last thing. I mean it. One last thing. Jesus in the face-to-face encounter throws mercy, doesn't throw stones, but he throws mercy, grace, and the transformational power of unconditional love. Go from now on and be free from a life of sin.